صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله عليه وسلم. May Allah increase the honor and grace, the rank of our master. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
السلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
على آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
السلام عليك يا نبي
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to our beautiful silsila Khuluqin Azim. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, the beautiful distinguished character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is what we are discussing in this beautiful silsila. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, if this is the first time you've joined us, then Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we've been talking about the blessed aspects of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam. And today inshallah Azza wa Jal, we're going to focus on the merciful side and also the forgiving side of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as a muallim, as a teacher, and every part of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is barakat, there is mercy. But inshallah azza wa jal, we're going to learn what mercy is, what barakat, what forgiveness is, and then also how we can take these beautiful madani pearls from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and then adopt them in our own lives as well. There's a very beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated in Sahih Muslim. It says that once the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam, he kissed Sayyiduna Imam Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and in his court was a sahabi called Al-Aqra ibn Habis radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And when he saw that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is kissing Hazrat Sayyiduna Imam Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, "O Prophet of Allah, do you kiss your children?" Yani he was surprised that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is kissing Imam Hussein. And he says, "I swear by Allah, I have 10 children, but I have never kissed any one of them." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard that, he says, "Whoever is not merciful will not be treated mercifully. Man la yarhamu la yurham." The one who doesn't have mercy will not deserve mercy. So alhamdulillah azza wa jal, being merciful, being forgiveness, tolerance, this is what we are going to discuss today. Mashallah, as usual, Ammar bhai, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, is present, and we're going to start off with Ammar bhai, some of the madani pearls. Ammar bhai,
bismillahir rahmanir rahim. This topic in itself, mashallah, is such a vast topic, because keeping in mind that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been sent as a mercy for the world.
Subhanallah.
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ.
MashaAllah.
Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was sent as a mercy for all the worlds, this topic is, you know, is immense, because there are so many aspects you could look at. For example, the hadith you mentioned with regards to kissing the blessed grandson,
subhanallah,
radiyallahu ta'ala an, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that hadith there are also teachings with regards to taking care of the family, you know, loving children, being affectionate towards them. There's that side. There's also the teaching side in terms of, look at the society that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was living amongst.
Sure.
There, in one sense, people considered it against their manlihood to be affectionate towards children. You know, they considered it against being a man. The demands of being a man was to be stern and be hard-hearted.
Yeah.
And this was, you know, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Quran states as well, the Quran tells us that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was granted a soft heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَأَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. So this is the Quran saying that what a great mercy it is from Allah that you, O dear Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are lenient towards them. And if you had been stern and hard-hearted, meaning unsympathetic, you did not have that same sympathy, then they would have certainly been uneasy in your company. They would have dispersed. And so forgive them and intercede for them and consult with them in the conduct of affairs.
I think we were talking about this the other day as well, that sometimes, you know, like I think you mentioned that we hear from the scholars or Sahaba Ikram, they said that, you know, be like a lion outside and be like a child at home. Wow. You know, some, like you rightly said, some people do think like that. That, you know, if I be, you know, soft at home, then they'll just walk all over me. It's a thing that people use quite a lot. Or they'll walk over you. Don't be so sweet with them. You know, they'll take advantage of you.
No, but we've got to keep in mind, if we are, for example, the authority figure at home, there are a couple of things. Firstly, you know, nobody's saying that you do not exercise your authority when needed. For example, if somebody is, you know, if your children are not praying salah, nobody's saying you should not tell them to offer salah. You know, even if it's in a strict tone, you know, like in a serious tone, if you're telling them to offer salah, nobody's saying, no, look, now you're not being lenient, you're not being soft. Because that's the point where you need to be exercising your authority. But it does not mean, you know, there is no sort of affection or love shown towards the family, towards your children and so on and so forth. But rather we have to keep in mind, this is one thing that we learn from the beloved, blessed life of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, when he was explaining to people, when he was wanted to get his message across, a lot of the times, why did he do so in a soft manner? One of the reasons being is, we have to keep our target in mind. When we're speaking to another person, we're trying to explain our point of view to another person. Mm-hmm. What is our ultimate purpose? So that he understands and acts upon it. If we keep that purpose in mind, then we have to see what is the best way to tackle it. If I'm screaming at somebody's face, is that the best way to go about it? Because as long as I'm screaming, he's just constantly cursing me in his mind.
You know, Allah
is waiting for me to be quiet.
Allah Azza wa Jal, when he orders Musa alayhi salatu wa salam to go to Fir'aun, this is exactly what Allah Azza wa Jal said, that, oh Musa, you know, talk to him with wisdom and with kind words.
Allahu Akbar. And you know, this is a basic fundamental of the teachings of our religion. When you want to advise, look for the best possible way to advise that person. And unfortunately, what happens is, like you've said, you know, be it at home or be it outside, this concept of mercy and forgiveness, it's a really important one, because when you can portray that, when you can show that, your words will have a bigger impact. And that is your purpose at the end of the day. When you're advising someone, when you're explaining something to someone, if you're constantly screaming, if you're constantly sort of heated, you know, maybe he will listen to you. Like, he'll sit there and he will listen to you. But in his mind, there's a lot going on which he's not expressing. If you want to cause a permanent change, the first thing is to have a status in his heart where he likes to listen to you, where he genuinely respects you. And that will only come about from the soft side of it.
A lot of the times, it does happen that if you are shouting at someone, you don't have the same results. Amir al-Sunnat was mentioning about this in Madani Muzakara the other day, and he read a poem. Hai falahu kamrani narmi o asani mein har bana kaam bigad jata hai nadani mein. Something that you could have done with, you know, with a quiet and in an easy tone, soft tone, but because you used the wrong tone, something that would have been good, you've destroyed it now.
I mean, we kind of see this practically in the life of Sidi Amir al-Sunnat Damat Barakatuh Aliya, since you've mentioned them, that the parents, for example, you know, they've tried for years and years. Maybe their methodology was wrong. You know, that could be a reason. Or maybe, you know, there can be many factors, but maybe the way of explaining to the child might have been incorrect. So they tried for years and years and nothing changed. And that child comes once in the court of Sidi Amir al-Sunnat Damat Barakatuh Aliya, and he goes back as a totally changed person. If we analyze the way of speech of Amir al-Sunnat Damat Barakatuh Aliya, you know, that soft, lenient style, and that gives a person time to absorb it, you know, take it in, process it through his brain and think of it with a cool mind, because at that time he has the time to sort of absorb it with a cool mind, because nobody's shouting in his face. If we're not giving a person that space to absorb it, intake it with a cool mind, then when is he going to process it in his brain and think about it rationally?
I've seen it many times, you know, we hear from the Muballighins and the Arakeen-e Shura. You know, when, especially the Arakeen-e Shura, when they sit with the Amir al-Sunnat, they have their Madani Mashura, and they say many a times, you know, when we've done something that, you know, that was not better, we should have done something else. But Amir al-Sunnat, the way he deals with that, You know, so the, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, from that we find, you know, allow parents sometimes, because, you know, parents will bring their children with us. And in some cases, I can remember a parent brought his son with him and he goes, is he akal sahau? You know, and he's there shouting his head off, you know, teach him something, teach him manners. And, you know, I said to him that, look, you know, I'll talk to him in my own private time. You know, why? Because if that guy said in front of me, in front of other people, that's belittling his own child.
And that even if you have a conversation with him later on, that child is not going to listen because he has just been insulted in front of you. And a lot of that, you know, a lot of that comes down to understanding the psyche, the psychology of a child. Because when you're dealing with a child, you have to realize, and sometimes we forget, that just like I have feelings, just like I have this desire for status, you know, one of the reasons sometimes the parents have this issue with the children is, look, he's going to be a means of disrespect, means of my status being degraded in the society. Mm-hmm. People are going to say his son is doing this. So there are a lot of the times we're worried about our own status. And we've got to realize the child has the same yearning.
Yeah.
The child has the same need, same sort of desire.
Yeah.
So if we are doing so much to protect our status in the society, but then at the same time, you know, wherever we get a chance, we belittle the child, we insult the child in front of people, that child mentally, he's just not willing to accept what you've got to say to him because you have not done what he wanted.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're not saying that at the same time, you know, again, a reminder that, you know, do whatever he says.
Yeah.
But saying, just look at it from a rational point
and
of view, psychology of
we
a
need
person.
To, we need to understand times are different. You know, especially, I think my age, the Islamic brothers, they've become parents, their children are growing up. Our time was different and our parents' time was different, you know. So time has changed. You know, we move forward 40 years now and anything, you know, as they say, things change in a flip. Now, this is 40 years I've gone by. You know, we need to understand that we need to be really careful as what we do as well. We live in the UK, you go and slap your child, you'll be in jail. You know, you shout at your child, you even touch your child nowadays, that even especially teachers is considered as abuse. And we need to change with times and Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, you don't need to hit your children, you don't need to slap your children. Alhamdulillah, the best way is that just show kindness to them, show mercy to them. And the first thing is, you must be their best friend.
Allah.
You know, if the father is the best friend of his own son, that son is not going to go out looking for friends because he's got his own best friend at home. And this is what we are lacking today, especially.
And that relationship of trust and that frankness and that openness in that sense. I think that's missing from our relationships. When we look at, for example, you know, the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his mercy, his kindness, and we see how much he would help out within the household as well, like we've mentioned in our previous episodes. Yes. Now, I think sort of bringing it back to the topic of mercy, when we look at the blessed ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Al-Mu'jam Al-Awsat, it is stated that Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu an, he has reported that the noble Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever has these three qualities, these three things, Allah Azza wa Jal will take his account, his hisab on the day of judgment with utmost ease. His accountability will be with leniency, with ease, and Allah will enter him into paradise with his
mercy.
And you know, if you look at the qualities that are there, you know, just like sticking to sort of the topic that we were discussing, and at the same time coming back to our topic, merging them both together. So the companions, Ridwanullahi ta'ala majmain, they asked that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are these things? You know, these three things that you mentioned, that if a person has them, his accountability will be easy. What are these three things? So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, give to those who deprive you.
Subhanallah.
That's the first quality. Second, establish relations with those who try to break off ties with
you. Allahu Akbar.
And then finally, forgive those who oppress you.
Subhanallah.
And these three qualities, if you look at it, the reason for our problems, our domestic issues, or our family issues, you know, with our relatives, are because we've let go of these three qualities.
It's like, you know, what you mentioned is, you know, people might be thinking, oh, that's going to be really difficult. But again, you know, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you look at the the incidents through the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he went to Taif, what the people did to him. In return, he didn't say that, you know, even he had the opportunity. No. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came in the angel, mountain of angels, the angel of mountains, and he says, you know, make but dua for them, I'll destroy all of them. No. And we see at that time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for them. And, you know, forgiveness. Alhamdulillah, Azawajal, that's what we need to understand. Never ever did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took revenge on people.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. We find similar narrations, you know, by, I think Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqah radiallahu anha has narrated. Inshallah, we'll get on to that. Yes. But just kind of connecting from what you said, you know, the Ta'if is a big incident.
Yes.
Likewise, the Ghazwa Uhud, the Battle of Uhud.
Subhanallah.
There, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we read in the books of Seerah that a blessed tooth of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was martyred, it was broken. Yes. But as we learn from the comments of the companions, that this only increased the beauty of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It did not cause a defect. But his tooth being broken or martyred, and also, you know, his blessed face being wounded, in that state, if that was to happen to us, imagine, you know, the anger would feel. Likewise, in the city of Taif, we know that, you know, they sent their kids and everybody after to, you know, throw stones at the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the extent that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was bleeding extensively.
Mm.
At that state, imagine your, you know, your mental state. What it would be, you'd be looking for every chance to take revenge. And this is the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that point as well, and now in the Battle of Uhud. So, but even at this point, the Rasul of Rahmah, the intercessor of Ummah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not curse them. He did nothing and said nothing except, Allahumma hadi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, guide my people because they are unaware of me. They don't know who I am.
Allah,
you know, this mercy of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even at such hard times, it's a big lesson for us that even when you look, for example, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Labib bin Asam, he cast a magic spell on the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgave him. The lady who fed him, you know, the meat with poison in them, Allah, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgave her. Likewise, many a times we see in the biography of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he forgave many people. And this forgiveness is a big lesson for us, you know, the lesson of kindness to take on board. And if we can actually instill this quality within us, we will achieve a lot more in life as
Mashallah.
Well.
There is a very beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah Azza wa Jal says that if you want my mercy, then show mercy towards my creatures. You know, so if we want to, and this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, forgive your brother in this world, Allah will forgive you on the hereafter.
Allah.
And on the hereafter, we will have no one to intercede for us. In the beginning, people will be really, really worried. But because you shown your mercy to someone in the world, Allah Ta'ala will show His mercy to you on the hereafter as well. You know, and many, many waqiyas of that. There is another incident where two friends will be brought in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He will show a beautiful palace in paradise. And both of them will say that, Ya Allah, who's going to enter this one? And Allah Azza wa Jal, He says that those who had mercy. And that other person, he will say that, Ya Allah, how can I enter this? And they have a disagreement with one another. And the other guy doesn't want to forgive him. So Allah Azza wa Jal will say that you can enter that. And he says, Ya Allah, how can I enter that? Forgive your brother and both of you enter.
Wow.
And that person at that time, he will say that, Ya Allah, I forgive my brother. And then they will hear a voice, or angels take them both into the gardens of paradise. So I think, alhamdulillah, to move forward in our lives, why do you want to sleep at night with someone's hatred in your heart? And, you know, why do you want to sleep with anger when you can sleep with ease? This is another reason why people take tablets. And people are, you know, always worried about things, because all they're worried about is, how can I take revenge of that person? And they're always planning, and, you know, they're causing problems to themselves.
Well, that's a beautiful point you brought up, because if we look at it, one is the religious side, you know, like we've discussed some of the ahadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are many more which encourage forgiveness.
Subhanallah. You know?
And inshallah, if we will get onto those as well. But on the other hand, there's the sort of the worldly side, you know. Look at it even from a research point of view.
Yeah.
In this day and age, what's happening is, as much as you focus on something.
Jee.
So for example, think about it. When you're going on a journey, and maybe you're running a bit late, you've got to catch a train. And on the way, you think, oh no, I'm going to miss the train. And when I miss the train, I'm going to get late for that place. And when I get late for that, I'm going to miss that. You start to think about all the long cycle of events that are going to happen with that, you missing that train. Mm. And yet you haven't missed the train. But as soon as you think about that, if you notice your physical state, the state of your body, you're panicking, maybe you're sweating, you're angry, you're frustrated.
Yeah.
And you've done all of that just by what? Just by thinking.
Yeah.
And this is exactly, you know, how you said, for example, when we are not willing to forgive and let go of things, we cannot move ahead in life because we're stuck in that state, in that mental state where we're constantly planning revenge. And that constant planning of revenge, we might not be able to actually get our revenge.
Mm.
And that's only going to increase our frustration.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're constantly planning, we're constantly bringing back to our mind what he did if he wronged us. Or sometimes we're actually, what it is deep down, we're not willing to admit our own mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of want to shift the blame. Like he maybe do something to us. But if we look at it deep down, the reason what enticed him to do that, what kind of made him that angry was us. But we're not wanting to go there. We're not wanting to admit our mistakes. But for as long as we have this anger within us and we're not willing to forgive, we are going to be mentally and emotionally disturbed to a big extent.
You know, there's just linking on to that as well. You know, sometimes, you know, you fall out, you know, with your family, your wife at home. You know, you've had an argument. Now, with that state of mind, you're going to be driving your car. And always you're thinking of that, why did she do this? Yeah, I could have said that and I could have done this and I could have. You're planning, right? When I get back home, I'm going to show her who's the boss. So what happens is maybe when you're driving, you might do something stupid. You know, you'll cause an accident. Or you might go to work, and if you have colleagues who are working with you, they say something little. You know, you might have an environment where you joke around with each other. But now whatever they say to you, even if it's in a jokingly manner, you're going to take it serious. Because why? You're already wound up. Now, vice versa, you know, you might have something, you know, with your colleague at work, and as soon as you get home, you know, your wife will come up, your children will come, you know, get out of my sight, I'm angry, you know, don't even talk to me. That is wrong. You know, what have they done to you? Or what have, you know, you need to think to yourself, and as they say, beautiful thing you mentioned, is forgive and forget. You know, what's happened has happened. It's not going to come back again. And always think to yourself, there's a very beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Jarir radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who does not show mercy is not treated with mercy.
Wow.
And the one who does not forgive is not forgiven.
Allah.
Yeah, so we like to be forgiven on the day of judgment. Everyone, we make dua, Ya Allah, forgive me, Ya Allah, forgive me. So I'm making the dua for Allah Ta'ala to forgive me, but here, I'm not willing to forgive anyone. So it has to be both ways, isn't it?
Once again, because alhamdulillah, we want to take along with our discussion the narrations as well to teach the viewers from the life of the beloved Nabi
Sallallahu.
A beautiful. Now think about this, you know, if somebody attempted to murder you, what would you do in return? And you know, there's also that limit as well. Obviously, you know, if somebody's attempting to murder you and you truly, you know, fear your life, don't say, well, you know what, I forgive him. Obviously, you should take the measures in order to protect you for your own safety. Nobody's stopping you from that. If you look at the life of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, during a journey, our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asleep. And whilst he's asleep, Awras bin Haris, he comes and he took his sword out with the intention of ma'adallah going to murder the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And our Holy Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he woke up. And Awras asked, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's going to save you from me now? And our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam calmly replied, Allah.
Subhanallah.
And as soon as he said that, due to the grandeur and the awe and the presence of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Awras started to shake. And his hands started to shake and the sword fell from his hands. And then our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam picked up the sword.
Allahu Akbar.
He said, oh Awras, who's going to save you from me now? And Awras there pleaded, you know, and he said, you know, he spoke about even, you know, various narrations mentioned various words. But there, he pleaded for his life. And our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forgave him.
Subhanallah.
Even though this man had come to with the intention of murdering Ma'adallah, the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But because our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forgave him, now look at it, when Ghawras returns to his people, his tribe, what does he say? He tells them, he tells his people that he has returned from a person who is the best of all mankind. The best of all mankind. This shows us a few things, you know, the character of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that this person is now going and describing to other people. And likewise, you know, the forbearance and the forgiving nature of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Somebody just tried to take his life in one's, you know, like, for, if you look at it from that angle.
Yeah.
But our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has still forgiven him. And this is that mercy which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala had placed in the heart of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. However, speaking about mercy, speaking about forgiveness, once again, we should not limit it to only maybe forgiving when somebody's made a mistake. But the idea of mercy is much more broad. For example, mercy includes you caring for another person, fulfilling his rights, you know, actually just showing that affection towards him. Let's say you're in your house and you've got some friends over or whatever. And depending on what sort of an environment you live, sometimes there are houses, you know, when they're attached to the next door and the walls are quite thin, you can say. Like when you speak, the next door, the guys next door will be able to hear you. So at that time, late at night, you're sat and you're speaking and your neighbor cannot sleep. That's not mercy. Whether you think about it or no, because you're now disturbing his sleep, you're violating his rights. He has rights as a neighbor. Now you're violating his rights at night. And then during the day, maybe, you know, somebody just comes in front of you and maybe, they, I don't know, they step away your foot and they ask for, you know, they say sorry and you say, it's alright, I let you off, and you think, you know, I'm a merciful person because I did that. But we don't realize we're doing so much on a daily basis around ourselves, which is totally, it contradicts the meaning of mercy and the message of mercy.
There's one thing that Amir al-Sunnat mentioned the other day as well, because it's Rabiul Noor Sharif, a lot of Islamic brothers will be having Mafil al-Milad at home, Mafil al-Nat at home. Now Amir al-Sunnat, he says that you might be thinking that we're doing something good, and for that, yeah, you're going to turn up the speaker and you're going to read your Nats. Maybe someone next door is asleep. You know, maybe someone next door is an old person, he needs his rest. Or someone, you know, who's going to work. Now the thing is, if you're turning up that speaker, you're doing something good. But because you're doing something good, doesn't mean that you can violate other people's rights. And sometimes people say, oh, Yaran, we're reading Nats, anyway, there's nothing wrong with that. No one says there's nothing wrong with Nats. You're doing something good. Yeah, why are you violating the rights of other people as well? You know, if people, unless you get permission, you know, for example, that is your neighbor. If you're doing something, even, you know, the Jalus of Milad, Amir al-Sunnat says, first of all, you seek permission from the council. I'm talking about the UK. You seek permission from the council. If you go and have a Milad Jalus on the street, just like that, the council, they'll stop you and they'll fine you. But once you seek the permission, then that means then everything is fine and you can go ahead with that. But then still always think to yourself, you don't want to be doing anything that goes against the rules of Sharia and you're disturbing other people as well. That is why, you know, we used to have Mafil al-Nats in the grounds. And in a few years before, we used to have Mafil al-Nats in the grounds, Dawud Islami. And one of the reasons that that has been stopped is because of these violations or these people who might be resting, who might be causing. Look at the sort and the fikr of Amir al-Sunnat. And exactly the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, another beautiful, merciful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, reports of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, show mercy on those on earth, the owner of the skies will have mercy on you.
Subhanallah. And you know, mercy, like for example, you mentioned the hadith. Once again, speaking about mercy, mercy isn't only when somebody's done wrong to me, I forgive them.
Gee.
But a part of mercy is that when somebody has done something wrong, and now they're coming to ask me for forgiveness, I accept their apology. That also comes under the concept of mercy as well. You know, like, as I said, because a lot of the times we're thinking of things from only one angle. And the more we can open up our mind to it, that this is also one aspect, this is also one aspect, the broader our vision is in that sense, the better it will be for us. Now, the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in a hadith we find in Al-Mu'jam Al-Awsat, he says that whoever seeks forgiveness from his Muslim brother, and that brother, without any valid Shari'i reason, does not accept the apology, he will not be blessed to go to the Hawd al-Kawthar, the pond of Kawthar on the Day of Judgment. So this, you know, this hadith in itself, you know, it's a warning for us. A lot of the times, when somebody comes, they have done something wrong maybe, and they are now admitting. That takes a lot. You know, to admit that I was wrong. To admit that I was wrong. That itself takes a lot. Think about it, for, you know, on a personal level. When I have done something wrong, I'm always trying to find an excuse, find a circumstance which I could blame. Because I just simply don't want to take that responsibility and accept that it was my fault. So likewise, if the person has actually firstly taken, had the courage to admit that he's wrong, and then the second step, which is even harder, he's come up to you to actually apologize. You know, think about it. Every time we want to go and apologize to someone, our ego always comes in. You know what? My respect, my status is going to go down. He's going to take me lightly and so on and so forth. But this person's actually admitted himself. And then second, he's made the effort and he's had the courage to come up and apologize. And even then, our ego is coming in. And we're saying, nope, never going to let him off. Never going to forgive him. So, and if there's no valid sharia reason, we've just heard the hadith of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that if somebody does not accept that apology without a valid sharia reason, then he will not be blessed to go to the Hawd.
You know, you mentioned one thing about someone admitting to their faults. Now again, like you said rightly, that it is something hard for you to accept your fault. But the thing is, when you accept your fault, then what's going to happen is you're going to narrow yourself, you're going to mellow yourself down, you're like, it's my fault, I shouldn't have done it. You know, then what? You know, if you look at the life of people like Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, that was their problem. They never accepted their fault. And like you said that, you know, sometimes if you think, oh, you know, this guy's, you know, he's a softie. You know, he's a softie, he's like that. But if you look at Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, accepted his fault, he was wrong, accepted Islam, became Amirul Mu'mineen.
Allah.
You know, Sahaba Ikram like that, that they were enemies of Islam. Yet what happened? They accepted their faults and they became great leaders. And Alhamdulillah Azawajal, they became the best of mankind, you know, after the prophets of Allah. And again, Subhanallah Azawajal, we need to learn from these lives of the Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan. And inshallah Azawajal, try to adopt that in your life. No matter how hard it is, try to at least do it. Inshallah Azawajal, you'll see that, you know, there's so much sukoon inside yourself.
Like you've said, from a personal development point of view as well, until you accept, that is like a first step. Until you accept, you will not be able to move on ahead to the second stage, which is, for example, if you have wronged someone, until you accept that it was your fault, you're not going to move on to asking him for forgiveness. Because before forgiveness comes genuinely accepting that I did wrong. Otherwise, yes, you will. You might just say, sorry. It's in your mind, you don't know what you're saying sorry for. It's just a formality. You're not saying it from the heart. It's half-hearted.
Like, it's like someone doing tawbah, but he's not sorry and he's not really, really from the bottom of his heart. He doesn't realize or accept that it's his fault. You know, I've seen people where they do tawbah, yeah. Someone said, you said this and it's wrong. Yeah, alright, okay. Yeah, maaf kar, tawbah. That's wrong. You haven't done tawbah because you haven't first of all understood what you did wrong. And you did not accept that it was wrong. And until you don't accept it's wrong, you're not going to move forward.
SubhanAllah, you know, it's brilliant that you've brought that up. You know, so from an Islamic point of view, acceptance coming before the second stage you just mentioned. For example, tawbah, for your tawbah to be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before that you must admit that I did commit that sin. And I'm ashamed that I've committed that sin. And I promise that I shall never commit that sin in the future. I shall never go near it. You know, I'll try my best as a human being. I'll try to avoid it. Obviously, then if you fall into it, you made the intention that I'm never going to commit it. But later on, for whatever reason, you end up committing it. But the time of tawbah, at the time of repentance, genuinely from the heart, you had this in your heart that I'm never going to go near it. Inshallah, with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can hope that your repentance, your tawbah is accepted.
Now, we need to understand another thing. One of the reasons why people will not show mercy to others. Another reason why people will not forgive others is because of the satanic thoughts that they will be having. Remember, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌّ مُّبِينٌ. No doubt the shaitan is your open enemy. When does the shaitan want two brothers to get together? When does the shaitan want two Muslims to get together? Obviously, the shaitan will whisper this in your mind. You know, when I was talking about you're driving your car and you're constantly thinking, it's the shaitan whispering constantly, don't forgive up, don't back up. He's nothing, don't you give up. or else people are going to talk bad about you. You know, you're going to be in problems. I can remember one Islamic brother, he got hit by someone. And I went to see him, and I was talking to him, and I said that, look, you know, whatever's happened, that's happened, yeah. Just take it easy, relax back, you know, have a big breath, and just relax and think. And he goes, you, yeah, what are you talking about? I'm not gonna leave him. You think I'm scared of him? Yeah, no one's scared of you. You could probably go and break his bones. Yeah, but the thing is, it's gonna escalate more. Just forgive it and, you know, forget it and move forward. No. I wanna take revenge. End of the day, and you know, he never listened to me. But then what happened was, he's still there burning inside. And then what happens? You know, you got problems in your family now. You know, your health starts to deteriorate. You're not eating well. You're not sleeping well. End of the day, what's happening is you're just killing yourself.
Exactly. You know, these things take a big portion of our mind, like our mental ability. And we think, well, oh, you know, it's only one thing. But we don't know how many of these small one things we have at one point. You know, the amount of people we've not forgiven, the amount of people we're just not willing to forgive and move on. And all of that adds up. But on the other hand, like you said, you know, in terms of forgiveness, a beautiful hadith of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned in Muslim Sharif and many other books, comes to mind that the Rasul of Rahmah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he has stated that sadaqah, charity, does not decrease wealth. And Allah Azza wa Jal increases the status of the one who forgives others. Increases his status. Yes. The one who forgives others. And whoever adopts humility for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal is granted elevation by Allah. So two things especially. Sadaqah, mashallah, is a separate topic within itself. But the one who forgives firstly, Allah increases his status, and also Allah elevates the one who adopts humility.
Subhanallah.
So from a general point of view now, besides from the hadith, just these two topics within themselves, forgiving and then humility. Humility is a big sort of factor in us admitting our mistake, because until we can learn to humble ourselves, we won't be able to admit our mistake.
You know, a lot of times when people have a fight, you know, you must have heard people say, yara, tu e bada bani jana, maaf kariyos. You know, you become the elder and forgive him. You know, so that means that, you know, you become kind.
And
so
alhamdulillah,
you said, all what happens, you elevate the, you know, yourself in the eyes of other people.
And they say, you become the big one. That's showing that the one who actually forgives is the more powerful one, is the stronger one. Likewise, we find in the hadith of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the summary of which is that the strongest of from amongst you is not the one who can put his opponent to the ground, but rather the stronger one is the one who controls his anger.
Subhanallah.
You know, so if we find, it's just amazing, if you can control your anger, you'll be protected from a lot of things. If you can control your anger, you won't blurt out things in a heated moment, which you'll regret later.
Yes.
If you can control your anger, you're not going to abuse another person, which, you know, which is going to cause problems later on, which you're going to regret later on when you're cool. And this is, you know, this is what happens when we're in a state of anger. Our rational ability, our ability to think about the things logically and with a cool mind in that sense, that's shut down.
Gee.
That's not, you know, that part is not working at that time.
Sometimes what happens is, you know, maybe if you sat down and you talked over it, things will get better. But I've seen it as well with personally, it's happened to a few times, to a few people that I was with. You know, everything looked so calm. And you think, subhanAllah, Allah kara, you know, they can get back together again. But someone out of anger will say, you know, you're like this, this is what you said. Now, because he's now accusing that person, and accusing meaning he doesn't have that bad quality in him, but now he's saying that, tu hai chore, you're this, you're like that, you know, you did this deliberately. And the other person, you know what he says? He goes, I would have forgiven you, yeah, but the way you've done, you've broken my heart. They'll never get back together again in the same way.
So is this that heat of the moment,
yeah,
at that point controlling, watching what you say. As I said, because our rational ability to sort of think things through at that time is very limited, or shut down, or at least very, very limited, depending on how strong the anger is as well. So at that time, the best solution is remain quiet. If there is a discussion that needs to take place, delay that. Do not make especially big decisions or strong decisions in a state of anger when you're emotionally sort of, you know, inclined towards anger, or when you're emotionally, in one sense, then you're emotionally sort of overtaken by anger at that point.
Yes.
Or in a heat of a moment, any time when you're emotionally dominated when you make a decision, later on you'll probably back up.
There's a saying, isn't there, that when you are angry, the shaitan now runs in your bloodstream.
Allah,
yeah, now whatever decision you make is what the shaitan wants. And then what happens sometimes as well is that when you make that decision, it might be a decision you're going to regret it all of your life.
Most likely people do as well. People definitely do. You know, you meet so many people.
There's a saying, isn't there, that control your anger or else it's going to end up you in the fire of hell. Allah. You might say something wrong, ma'azallah. You might even say a word of kufr. And that's it, you've destroyed yourself. Because you were angry, and like some people say, oh, my anger doesn't calm, I can't calm down unless I take revenge. Maybe that anger is going to take you into the fire of hell.
There are narrations with regards to that, with similar sort of meaning that such a person is going to go to hell. The one whose anger only cools down after having committed a sin.
Allahu Akbar.
And so committing a sin, the scholars explain, sin is not limited. Sin is even if you were angry and you said something which broke the heart, disheartened the other person. Disheartening a Muslim like that is also a sin. So at the end of this, all of this now, previously I was going to mention this point, but it's come up again, is if we are to be merciful, or if we are to, for example, even seek repentance in the court of Allah, or generally, we have to realize and distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. Yeah. What is a sin and what is a good deed. And both Islamically and morally, in terms of amongst the people, and Islamically as well. So for example, we were given an example of a naat being recited in such a long, loud tone, loud voice, or loud speakers being used, and so on and so forth, at night when people are trying to rest. The act of reciting the naat is good, but at that time it's not good because of what you're doing. So we have to distinguish between right and wrong. Yes, naat is good. Likewise, we hear from the scholars, reciting the Quran. You know, what can you do better than recite the blessed words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessed kalam of Allah, the glorious Quran. And yet when a person is sleeping, the scholars, they say it is prohibited at that time for a person to go and sit next to him and recite the Quran in a loud voice. It's right. Recitation of the Quran is right. But that timing and that situation, that scenario is now different.
Sometimes it can kick off. I can remember, you mentioned that we were on a Madani Kafila. And, every type of people travel on the Madani Kafila. And this Babaji came at 2 o'clock at night. And, Fajr was at 6 o'clock. He came at 2 o'clock at night. And he came, opened the masjid, did wuzu, sat there. Alhamdulillah. He started reading the Quran loud. Everyone was asleep. And then, one of the Islam brothers, he woke up and he goes, Babaji, please calm down. It's only 2 o'clock, yeah. We're going to wake up for tahajjud, inshallah, a couple of hours later. But, can you go on here? Taqona, I'm here to read the Quran. What are you doing here? Then suddenly that slowly escalated. Because I know everyone's got that Madani mindset. And this guy was first time on the Madani. He nearly kicked off. And then, on the same similar tone, sometimes people, they're so angry. And they're having a fight and they punch someone. And, you have to really grab them. And when you say, Ira, calm down. He's done everything. He's hit the person. He's sworn at him and he goes, I am cool, man. Don't worry. I've cooled myself down. You're not cooling yourself down. You've committed that sin. You've hit him. You've sworn at him. You've done everything. I'm cooled down. And again, what you mentioned is very, very important. Look at that. Again, you are sinful for that because you're causing problems. So you're doing something right, yeah, you're still going to be sinful for it.
So like, for example, that mercy, so from both sides, to show mercy, like I said, mercy is not just forgiving somebody when they made a mistake, but mercy is consideration in general, being considerate. So to show that mercy, or to be in a situation where you can understand the other person, for both we need knowledge. I remember we once went into a masjid, me and my cousin was along with me. We went, I think I was in a different city, I was traveling. And we went to pray our Dhuhr because we just about arrived, we hadn't prayed our Dhuhr yet. So we went there and there's a Buzurg, an elderly person. Now he is there in the masjid walking around with a tasbih in his hand with, he's basically, you could say, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing the tasbih, dhikr of Allah. Now, since we were kids, when we were being brought up, we were taught by our parents, when you enter the masjid and people are busy, in the remembrance of Allah, somebody's reciting the Quran, somebody's doing this, don't give them salam. Because they're already involved in that good act. At that time, but if somebody sat, ma'azallah, and this is a big thing we should be avoiding, is talking about worldly matters, then or even in general, be in a masjid, be elsewhere, if they're sat like that, you can give them salam. But if somebody's busy in worship, do not cause disturbance, just go silently. So acting upon that, I just sort of silently walked past, and so did my cousin, and we were about to start our salah, and then that elderly person turns around, and he, in a really heated tone, he says, you know, is salam forgiven for you? Why did you not give salam? Are you Muslims? This and that. Afterwards, I was thinking about it, that, you know, this is something that's very, if somebody with a very sensitive sort of an attitude, somebody who's not in an Islamic environment, somebody who's not been brought up in that environment, maybe this is the first time he's going to the masjid, the first time after a long time he's going to the masjid. If he was to receive that sort of a welcome, is he ever going to return back to
exactly the same scenario, you know, we were put in. We did Neki Ki Dawat, and one of the Islamic brothers, you know, we made their mind, alhamdulillah, you know, he came to the masjid to read his namaz. Now he's come back to the masjid. You know, when we met him, when he goes, oh, I don't go to masjids, you know, people are not good people, you know, please, you know, let's go. So we took him to the masjid, and as we were sat there, you know, the guy by mistake walked in front of a buzurg. He's got to be a buzurg, isn't he? He walked in front of a buzurg, Babaji. And I don't know if you can call a buzurg as well. You know, he walked in front of a Babaji, and he was reading his namaz. So the guy walked in front of him, Babaji broke his namaz and slapped him from behind. And he goes, Annai, can't you see I'm reading my namaz? You broke my namaz now. And then first of all, Babaji, no one breaks your namaz by walking in front of you. But that guy never ever has he ever come back to the masjid. Now he was already scared. But then, you know, Minta Garina, we said, please come to the masjid. He's never going to come back to the masjid again, is he? You know, we've got a few minutes. I just want to, you know, go on to, alhamdulillah, we mentioned about being merciful to one another. There's a beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that a companion, he was about to slaughter an animal.
Allah.
And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that, show mercy to him. And he says that, Ya Rasulullah, is there mercy to show when you slaughter an animal? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, does yes, show mercy to him when you slaughter him. Yani, a few things that the ulama ikram, they mention, is when you slaughter an animal, don't sharpen the knife in front of it. Yeah? Sharpen the knife away from it, and then slaughter. Because if you sharpen the knife in front of him, that's gonna make him fearful. So look at the fear, mercy that Islam shows. And then don't slaughter another animal in front of another animal. Again, show mercy. And
when subhanAllah, it comes to the, like if you are going to be using a knife or a blade, make sure it's sharpened. So you're going to be slaughtering it anyways, but don't make it more difficult for the poor animal, you know, by using the blunt blade or something. All of these, mashallah, like you mentioned, you know, such teachings of mercy. Even, I remember an incident came to my mind, beautiful incident. Amazing, you know, shows you how much. Sidi Amir al-Sunnat Damat Barakatum al-Aliya, once I think he had gone upstairs. And there was a small ant on his clothing. And he said, ants live together. They live in a colony. They live together. So when it's separate from his colony, it's going to be very worried. So Amir al-Sunnat Damat Barakatum al-Aliya went downstairs where he, you know, where he had been, where he had remained, and he left the ant there. Just so that it cannot be separated from his colony. And these, you know, where does he learn all of these from? These are the teachings of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we are commanded for mercy with animals at such a state.
Allahu Akbar. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, that time of the silsila again where we need to say, Jazakallahu khaira for watching and alhamdulillah azawajal. I hope that you've learned something, because I certainly have learned a lot of things today. May Allah ta'ala forgive and reward us, and may Allah ta'ala make us merciful, and may Allah azawajal make us, you know, forgiving one another. Please take care of yourself. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala
Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu